Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, world? You just tuned in to Blog Talk Radio, and this is Talk to Me, hosted by the one and the only most famous, most loveliest, most wealthiest, most jubilant sister in the world. That's right. My name is Minister Cherie Humphrey, and I am the founder and president of Diamonds in the Rough, Finding the Spirit in Me, and the producer of A Star is Born Talent Events and Talk to Me Media. Our motto is standing firm on the promises of God. Now, I want to thank everybody that has tuned in all year. This is still the 10th season, but the last episode of the year for me. I want to thank everybody who has supported me, not just this year, but over the past 10 years. Today, we are going to be discussing the most memorable of 2020, whatever that may be for you. And so I have some fabulous guests that are coming on, someone from Hartford and another person calling in from Charlotte, North Carolina. And so I just want to go over some of the preliminaries like I always do. If you've never listened to this show, we have over 300 people that I've interviewed, over 180 episodes, over 10,000 people that have listened to this show, reaching Indonesia, Australia, Europe, and, of course, the United States. And it is still growing. I just want to thank some of the guests that I've had on. I don't remember everybody, as, you know, you would probably think I don't. But I'm just going to mention some names in case you have never listened to this show before. You can kind of get a feel of what this brought. I've had on here Marcel Lashley Davies, J.D. Lawrence, Calvin Richardson, Richmond Punch, Carmichael the Music Lover, Wendell B., C.C. Peniston, Curtis Blow, Melba Moore, Glenn Jones, J.P. Justice, Drew Frazier, Tony Redd, Judah Seeley, Darren Cookie Moore, Christopher Williams, Stacey Lattisoff, Doobie Powell, Keisha Rainey, Cole Flood, Riff, Gerald Kelly, J.J. Harrison, Capone, FSW, Janice Dempsey, and the producer of the McDonald's Gospel Fest, my former producer, as I was singing with them for 10 years, A. Curtis Farrell. I love that man. But in any case, I got to get into some scriptures before I begin to read my first caller, his bio. some of the scriptures, there's going to be some encouraging scriptures because people have gone through a lot this year alone. I wanted to give some things that would encourage you and strengthen you. You're not the only one. If you think you're the only one, you're not. I have been through some ups and downs, just like everybody else, this entire year. The first scripture is, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand." Philippians, strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. That is Deuteronomy 31:6. The next one is, "But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." That is from Isaiah 40 and 31. I'm going to give one more because I see my first caller has called in already. So I'm going to give one more scripture. "For the Lord your God is he who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies, to give you the victory." Deuteronomy 20 and 40 and 4. Be strengthened. Be grateful for whatever God has blessed you with. And if you're listening, you're breathing. So he's already given you a very great blessing, which is life, because there's been so many people that have passed away on this year. I lost 3 family members this year. Be strengthened. Know that God is with you. And if you haven't accepted him, you can go to Romans 10 and 9 to 11 and read that out aloud. Have a witness. Go to your pastor. Go to a friend that's more seasoned or seasoned in the Lord. And, if you just want to gain some strength and some more wisdom to help you get through whatever that you may be going through. So we want to think on the good things, what has been the most memorable for you on this year as we get ready to go into the holiday season with Christmas coming upon us, Kwanzaa and Hanukkah, whatever it is that you might celebrate and honor. I want to give honor to God because he is the author and finisher of my life. I may not have it all right, but I sure ain't who I used to be. So I give him the glory for that. And I'm going to play a song. When I come back, I'm going to go straight into my first call-in bio. So I'm going to give you a little bit of Face It All by Fred Hammond.
From my heart, here is what I need to say. From now on, and until my dying day, my love is here to stay. My heart has found its place. You say you feel this too. So whatever we go through, hand in hand, we can stand and say, untrue. We've had our share of heartache and pain, but our love has brought us through. So let's say on this day, together we will stay. If life is good and gold, or if tears fall down our face, hand in hand, we can stand and face it all.
That was Fred Hammond, Face It All. Oh, my God. I had the opportunity to meet Fred Hammond years ago doing reporting, and let me just tell you, if I can marry this man's voice, I mean, Lord have mercy, that is just so sweet, touches my very, very being, Lord. Anyway, let's get back. You've been listening to Talk to Me Radio. We just started our last episode of the year. I am Cherie Humphrey. I'm going to read my first caller's bio. His name is Alvin Jean, who grew up in Hartford, Connecticut, singing songs by the Jackson 5, Temptations, Kool & the Gang, and many other old school artists. With the support of his beautiful wife, Deborah, and his son, Alvin III, he used to sing back in the 80s as a hobby, but put it on hold and never returned to it until years later when an amazing event happened in his life. And we're going to find out what that event is soon as I plug him in. Alvin Jean, which is his son, Alvin became his first client as he advised them to record again. So Alvin III advised Alvin II to record again. And She's Gonna Have It, Alvin Jean's first single published through CD Baby, was released on September 5th, 2019. Thanks to his miracle son, Alvin Jean has finally arrived and is on the radio rotation with She's Gonna Find It. And you can find his song on YouTube, Apple, Google Play, SoundCloud, Amazon, Deezer, Pandora, iHeart, and CD Baby, of course. And so I am going to plug Alvin in right now so we can hear from him and he can tell us about this experience that he had. Hello?
Hey, Cherie, how's it going?
Good, good. It's Cherie. How are you, Alvin?
Hey, I'm doing okay. I'm hanging in there.
All right, wonderful, wonderful. And so I see that you are an old school artist, seen, you know, in 2020, doing your thing, blowing up, you know, going up the charts with your new single. Tell us a little bit about this experience. It says something happened, an event took place in your life. Explain to the audience exactly what you're talking about.
Oh, okay, Cherie, I can explain that. I used to sing back in the 80s and in the late 70s, and I basically put it on hold. It was a hobby back then. And in 1996, my wife became pregnant after being told by many doctors that she could never have children. My son was welcomed to us on January 31st, 1997, which was my mother's birthday.
Wow.
So that was a big deal. But he was born 3.5 months early, and the doctors didn't think he would live. They were basically telling me and my wife, well, after the fact that he was going to live, they basically told us we didn't know how we were going to tell you guys that he's not going to make it. Because
wow,
he was on a
he
was on an incubator machine to help him breathe, and I guess his lungs hadn't fully developed. So for the period that he was going to have to need help breathing with that machine, it was supposed to make his lungs worse and break down his organs and eventually kill him. But he was off the machine on his second day.
Wow, look at God.
But by the grace of God, you know, because the doctors at Hartford Hospital in Hartford, Connecticut, actually told us, we don't know how he came off that machine. But I saw the fight in him then. And, you know, by the grace of God, he made it out the hospital after about 3.5 months. And we were told that he was going to have problems with learning and playing sports and being a normal kid. You know, he was going to have, you know, defects where he needed help. But he overcame all that. And, you know, by the time he got out of preschool, when his teachers was on me and my wife about having him skip the kindergarten and go straight to first grade because they thought he was too far advanced, that's when I looked up and said, God, I got a miracle living in my house.
Right.
You know, so
absolutely.
In addition to that, growing up, you know, we played old school. You know, my wife was more on the Whitney Houston, BB and CeCe Winans side, but me, I played everything. I played from James Brown to the Stylistics to the OJs to Sugar
right.
Hill, and he got a whiff of that very early. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And he just was into music as well as he was into sports. He was into music and music. He was good in sports. You know, his teachers wanted me to, or his coaches rather, wanted me to keep him like in sports because, you know, hey, this guy, he can go a long way and da 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 da. And, you know, but music is what really took him over. And I saw that at a young age. You know, he's going on 24 now, but even at 14, for a guy to know who the Stylistic was, and the Beach Boys and Jackie Wilson, and you know, it really just took him over. And he got a scholarship to the University of Hartford, which he didn't accept because they didn't teach courses as far as mixing beats and music, you know, and that's what he wanted to do.
Right.
So he was kind of like, Dad, I don't want to tell you this, but I really don't want to go there. I want to go to a recording school where I could learn. So, you know, I mean, hey, it's his life. You know, I told him, I say, hey, if that's what you want to do, then let's do it. So he went to recording school. And like I said, his teacher just happened to be the great Edwin Ramos, who's worked with artists like Mary J. Blige, Aretha Franklin, Casey and JoJo, Brian McKnight, you know, and it was one-on-one training. So from there, I felt like he got the best of the best. And but that's when he basically started saying to me, hey, man, you need to put them earphones back on in the studio. We need to do something. I was against it at first. But, you know, I was kind of like, you know, well, son, I haven't done this since the 80s, you know, because he heard some of our old songs from the 80s and back then on a cassette tape. But he just said, man, I think you need to give it another shot. You don't need to let this die. You know, they need to know about you. So in addition to that, what topped it off, my mother, who passed away in 2013, on her deathbed, said the same thing.
My God.
Yeah.
Wow.
Thank you. She said the same thing. You know, promise me that, you know, you'll try to put some music out so that people can hear it. And so that just carried over to him. And I just said, okay, man, let's go for it. And that's where She's Going to Find It came from.
My goodness. And it's like a story of revitalization and just renewal, because his miracle, the miracle in him, brought out what was already in you. And it took that for him to come into this world 20 years later to push his own dad to say, look, Dad, you need to do this again. And so, the days of the A-track is gone, and you got to catch up. You know, as with, you know, a lot of us that are 50 and up, well, I'm almost 50, to, you know, to get with the new age, and then you bring in that old school flavor in there, which makes it all the more better.
And you're right, Sheree, because he is funny. When we first started recording, I'm like, hey, man, where's the real, you know? He's like, yeah, that don't exist no more. That's gone, bro.
Okay. That just tickles me.
You know, I walked in the studio with, you know, he invited me down one day. Hey, Mike, you need to come see what we're doing, you know.
Yeah,
and so
absolutely.
I go to Bridgeport with him, and I walk in the studio. I'm like, hey, man, where's the real to real, you know? He looked at me like, both of them actually looked at me like, dude, where you been, man?
Because he probably never even saw a reel-to-reel or an 8-track before.
No.
Right?
Absolutely. He just saw it in the, I guess when he was starting to go to school, they showed him videos on, like, how recording started and how it came along and processed through the years. So he saw it that way, you know what I mean? But as far as in person, you know, I walked in like, hey, this stuff you guys got in here, man, I don't know a thing about.
And that's okay, because he's helping you to bridge that gap, and he's helping you, you know, to get out there in front of his friends, his age group, these millennials. And so, you know, there's people out here that still love old school. I know I do, you know.
So me too.
We got to have that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so tell us, you know, what your plans are. And, like, I know the COVID's going on with a lot of entertainment. It has shut things down as far as, you know, theater and etc.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
What are your plans to get yourself, you know, out there more, and, you know, if you're not going to be performing?
Okay. My plans is basically what my mother actually told me on the deathbed and what my son encouraged me to do. You know, I haven't been on a stage since 1980. So, you know, I haven't performed in a long time. So my plans from here is basically to help bring the old school back, because it's some music and it's some funk that has been missed. And we got a lot of indie artists. We got a lot of upcoming new artists that is pretty good, that can bring our music back and give our 50s and 40s and 60-year-olds something to jam to. So my plans is to put Elvin Jean out, let people know about him, and just try to bring the funk back that we used to have.
Right.
You know what I mean? But make it in the 2020 format.
So do you think once this COVID, hopefully, you know, by the spring of next year is, you know, better and we're able to get out again, or more so, you know, with the vaccinations that they're, you know, offering to people, do you think that you're going to be setting up some engagements up in Hartford, or are you coming down, you know, this way near New York City? What do you think?
Well, that's possible, Cherie, because, first of all, I'm going to go back a little bit. Like I said, I haven't been on stage since 1980. And usually when I was on stage, I remember we always had to have that stage awareness. You know, in other words, if you do a spin, you don't want to be in the wrong place. You want to be where the mic is, you know.
Right.
Like I said, right now I'm almost green again in the recording industry, where I would really have to practice all that. But definitely, depending on how sales do, when I put out this CD, and I personally believe they'll do okay, because I believe in the project. You know, my son believes in the project. Some of it is it's a little different from She's Gonna Find It. Some of it is upscale, funky beat, cameo, Ohio Players type beats. And then some of it is slow ballads, like Luther Vandross, Eddie Pendergrass from back in the day.
We love some Teddy.
You know we love some Teddy, right? You was there. If I can get good feedback off of the CD that I'm getting off of She's Gonna Find It, because I'm gonna tell you right now, I'm actually surprised at the feedback that She's Gonna Find It is getting, because I'm usually an upbeat tempo, like I said, funky beat, cameo, heat wave, brick. You know, I'm usually up with those guys as far as making beats, fast type of beats. So when my son said, hey, let's put out something slow first just to see what it does, I'm actually surprised at the response I'm getting off of this song. So, it's just exciting. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely, I'm sure. And you know, you're learning so much. You know, more new things put you into this genre of, you know, in this age group. You're learning so many different things that they didn't have back then. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And
it's unbelievable.
Yeah, so, you know, you're definitely going to be growing along with your son, because now he's seeing a part of his dad that maybe he didn't get to see, you know?
Exactly. Exactly. Yep. Exactly.
Yes. And you talking about the stage, I can recall when I was with Family Records in Brooklyn, and my, my manager, Red, took me to the New Eureka. I didn't know how small the New Eureka stage was. So I'm up there barefoot in a slave outfit doing my spoken word piece. And there was three drag queens as judges. So the stage was literally so tight, I could barely, like, spin around, because that was a part of my act. And I hit the microphone stand, and it hit almost hit one of the judges in the head.
You see what I'm saying?
And
you see what I'm
yeah,
saying?
She jumped up and said, "Hey, hold up, B." I was like, "Wait a minute now. We ain't about to have no fight up on this. Who you talking to?" It was just ridiculous. I was so angry after that performance.
Yeah, but you know what I mean by you got to get it right. You know what I mean? You know, you don't know who that microphone pole might fall down and hurt. New York too. You know how I can be down there.
Exactly. That's why I'm like, oh man, he just took me to the wrong spot, because I can't do this.
Hey,
I ain't gonna be up here fighting no.
And you're already in a slave uniform.
You know what I'm saying? With no shoes and no socks on.
It's all good though. It is what it is.
Yeah, so you know, experiences like that to teach you a lot, and you know, you can look back on it and you grow from that, and so. It's just a blessing to be able to be put on the platform to say anything or sing to someone or act or anything like that. And so that it brings me to my next question. What is your most memorable experience or moment for this year? We don't have that much time, but you can go ahead and expound on that.
Well, I can tell you what that was, Cherie. That was in, I'm going to go back to like March or February. It was song related. I was in a grocery store, you know, because it was on a Sunday. My wife likes to cook sometime on Sundays. You know, me and my son are sports fanatics. So we watch the NBA, NFL, whatever, you know. And she likes to cook a decent meal. She likes to cook a decent meal on Sunday. But anyway, I was in a grocery store, and these two ladies were, I noticed them staring. About up there with us, 50-ish, you know, 50, probably 60, you know. But they were staring at me. Like, did I do something wrong? You know, I was right in the aisle where I was getting some of them colored greens, you know what I mean? And they came up to me. And the lady said to me, "Excuse me, are you Alvin Jean?" And I said, "Yes." And the other lady looked at her, a friend, and said, "See there, I told you that was him." And they asked me for my autograph.
Wow, isn't that
And
sweet?
That was, you know, I've never signed an autograph before. You know, I've never been put in that situation. So I was like, wow, somebody actually wants an autograph. So I signed one pocketbook, and the other lady, I signed her purse. And that's the biggest thing that happened to me in 2020. As far as. This somebody actually came up to me and said, "I want your autograph." You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So
yeah, what you
I
said.
I wasn't right after that. I felt like, you know, Usher or Michael Jackson or The Weeknd or, you know, I felt like, you know, I wasn't right after that, you know.
Right.
You know what I mean?
But that's an awesome thing. It's a surreal experience. You know, for that to take place and for the first time, you know, I know the feeling.
Exactly.
It's a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
But before we run out of time, you know, I got to ask you to sing something.
Okay. Well, you know what? I can run the first verse down to you, and she's going to find it.
Okay.
Because you know we're gonna have more songs coming out, but I'll run this by you, okay?
All right.
And I'm gonna turn the speaker off so you can hear.
What's the secret to perfect?
Everybody, it's our commitment to uncompromising quality. It's how we introduce.
That's the ad, but it's gonna leave.
Okay.
Dedicated to bringing you the highest quality. Bring more than great pasta to the table. Bring passion.
Okay,
okay,
everybody,
we're gonna
getting ready to sing.
Right now.
All right.
Baby, why are you going through my phone? When you have a phone of your own. I just turned around and I'm running down. Yes, I can only imagine what she found. So, ain't no use in hiding, no. She's gonna find it, yeah. Ain't no use in hiding, no, no. She's gonna find it.
How did that sound?
I've got to be honest. The music was breaking up some, and it was like an echo because of, I guess, the speakers and the phone being too close. But I could hear most of what you're saying. And so you let people know where to find your music so they can hear the professional end product of your song, She's Gonna Find It.
Oh, okay.
Just give them that information.
Yeah. Yes, they can find it on YouTube. That's pretty much the most dominant social media site that they can find it on. You know, you can just go to YouTube, type in Alvin Jean, She's Going to Find It. And like you said in the beginning of the show, Cherie, they can listen to it on a lot of the major platforms. They got Apple Music, iTunes, Pandora, iHeart. You know, there's quite a few of them out there that they can listen to it on if they want to hear it professionally in a professional sound. So,
yes, and thank you so much for coming on. You know, I just continue to do what you're doing, you know, and God will open up the doors. You already know. Just stick with it, and I'm sure things are going to get better and bigger. And next year, I may not even be able to get you on my show. You may be done blew up, you know. And be
well, even if that's the case, I still come on your show.
All right, now.
I still come on the show because you know what? I just don't forget people like you. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
God bless you.
No matter how big I get, I'll never be too big for Cherie Humphrey and her blog talk show.
Thank you so much, Alvin. You have a blessed night and have a blessed Christmas or holiday, whatever you celebrate, you and Alvin III and your wife, Deborah.
Yeah, and you too, Cherie. Same to you and your family, and thanks so much for having me on.
No problem. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
There you have it. That was Alvin Jean out of Hartford in the Talk to Me Radio. This is Cherie Humphrey. I am going to go to another song, one of my favorite holiday songs. Since we're talking about the OJs, I can't hardly wait till Christmas.
I can hardly wait for Christmas.
Okay, that was a throwback, the OJs, I Can't Hardly Wait Till Christmas. You know, Christmas is on Friday. You have tuned in to Talk to Me Radio. This is your host, Cherie Humphrey. We are talking about the most memorable experiences or moments of this year. I do want to send out condolences to everyone that has lost someone on this year. I myself lost my brother-in-law at the start of the pandemic, and then Jordan, my cousin, younger cousin, died around October, I believe, also my cousin Ricky a week ago, I really can't remember, but he was like an uncle to me, and he passed away. So I just want to send out love to my cousins and everybody. And also, if you would like to donate to Diamonds in the Rough, please look at the show page. I have my Cash App up there. So if you'd like to give, I would truly appreciate it. It would be a total, total blessing because, as you know, I've been doing this 10 years, and I don't really pull on people. And I've interviewed people who are famous and people who are not famous. So if you find it in your heart, please do so. Keep looking on the Diamonds in the Rough website next year, because hopefully something's going to pop off and I'll be able to start up the events again. Or maybe God has something new. If you'd like to purchase any of my 18 publications or my slew of artwork, please do so. I have a Black Lives Matter collection. Look on the website. Call me, contact me, let me know what you're interested in, and we can work it out. All right, so I'm going to plug in my caller after I read her bio. LaShae Nicole, resident of Charlotte, North Carolina, has been working in the theater community for many years. The plays LaShae are most known for are For Colored Girls, As the Lady in Red, Amen Corner, Seven Guitars, Pipeline, and Fences. BNF's latest production of August Wilson's Two Trains Running earned her the 2019 Metrolina Theater Award for Outstanding Supporting Actress for her memorable role as Risa. Recently, her peers voted her 2020 Best Actress with the Queen City. Oh, God, I can't see. The Queen City. Let me put my glasses on. Oh, sorry about that, y'all. These words going together. The Queen City Nerve publication, Best in the Net. LaShae is also no stranger to film, starring as the lead role in the independent film Corporate Politics, earning the 2007 Real Film Festival Award in two film publications in 2018, Charlotte 48 Film Festival. LaShae also had her directing debut January 2018 with three in productions in the stage play Tell Heaven I'm Coming. LaShae is currently a hair model, being featured in numerous national and international hair magazines, commercials, billboards, and bus ads. For 10 years, LaShae was co-founder of Shea Movement African Arts, sharing the heart of African energy through movement. Through SMAA, LaShae was able to perform and teach authentic Western African choreography, earning her the privilege to be one of the opening acts for the Universal Soul Circuit and many other events in Charlotte and surrounding areas. Although LaShae wears many hats, she hopes to continue to move crowds to personal reflection, enlightenment, and laughter through her passionate performances given on stage. And so I am going to plug this wonderful woman in right now.
Hello, good evening.
Hi, how are you?
So good, how are you doing?
I'm doing okay, you know. I'm just, waiting for the holidays so I can see my family, especially my nieces and my little baby.
Oh, I completely understand. I do.
Yeah. So how are you tonight?
I'm doing well. I just want to thank you for inviting me to be a guest on your show. This is totally out of my box. So I appreciate it. Thank you so much. Yeah.
Thank you. I love pulling people out their boxes. You know why? Because I've been pulled out my box. So I guess I want everybody to be pulled out the box too.
Okay then. So we all out the box together.
Yeah, we out
okay.
the box. Yes.
Okay.
But you have so many gifts. You are an actress in theater, screenplay, hair modeling. You are an entrepreneur who has your own business. You do dance and you teach it. You know, you don't just perform it, you teach it. So it is a pleasure. I saw you on a group. My best friend has said, Sheree, you know you love to travel. Why don't you hook up with women who love to travel too? You know, black women love to travel too. And so as I was, you know, browsing through the group, your face struck me and I said, oh, she's gorgeous. I thought, I wonder what she do.
Aww.
And so I just started I just started looking at your page and I was like, oh my God, this girl is freaking famous. She's blowing up down there in Charlotte.
I'm not famous now. Don't do that now. We're not famous yet. Glory to God. Glory to God.
Yes, but tell us a little bit about your theater, because one thing about theater, I know people can catch the bug real quick, and I'm not talking about a virus. I'm talking about once you are in a play, and if that's for you, you love it, you continue doing it, you try to put yourself in as many roles as possible. Tell us a little bit about that, and then, you know, talk to us about Fences, because I know you said that was one of your most memorable for this particular year. So tell us a little bit about that.
Okay, I'll try to keep it quick. Because originally, I did not want to be an actress. I wanted to be Janet Jackson. That's who I wanted to be in life. I wanted to be a dancer, and that was
okay.
it.
Right.
And so I actually just went out, early 2000s, I went out, there was a flyer. I was getting my feet done, and it was a flyer mm-hmm. looking for everything, singers, dancers, playwrights, everything. So I went out and I auditioned. I did a dance piece, and then they asked me, could I act? And I was like, I can act a fool if you want what you want.
Okay.
And so they had me do an improv, right? And so
right.
from there, they cast me in the play. It was a gospel play called Everything I Miss at Home. And it was written by the R&B singer Sherelle. Okay.
Oh.
So that
right.
was my first time on stage in front of paying people to come see you act on stage. And
wow.
from there it took off, no lie. There was a actor in the play, Curtis Blake, who was one of Tyler Perry's actors in Diary of a Mad Black Woman. And he
okay.
said, hey, I'm writing a play, I want you to be in it. So 2 years later I was in his play. And so it
wow.
was a snowball effect. So that was
yes.
kind of my audition piece for other things that I had going on. Is somebody was in the audience and said, hey, I like what you did there, you know. And so that's kind of how I got into the acting bug, if you will. And I'll tell you this,
yes.
acting in gospel plays is probably the best on-the-job training you can have, because you got one night to catch their attention, right? And you got
mm-hmm.
one night to get it right. And the gospel
mm-hmm.
audience is going to tell you whether they like you or not.
It sure is.
They will talk back to you, okay? So you got to learn on the fly. You got to learn how to ad-lib if you need to. You got to learn how to correct yourself if you know, you kind of flubbed up on something. You got to learn about stage presence. But also my dancing career helped me with that, because you know about stage presence, you know, performing for the audience, engaging them. And so over the years, I was able to do more theater in Charlotte and, you know, I guess we can call off-Broadway plays. And
right.
On Cue Productions, Quentin Talley with On Cue Productions was the one that took his first chance on me, okay?
Wow.
He's pretty big in Charlotte as well with especially Black theater. And so
okay.
from the first play I did with him, Day of Absence, I kind of became a part of that family. You know, that On Cue Productions family. So you would see me in a lot of his productions. And then Cue kind of ventured off and started doing more music. And so BNS Productions came through and had this big presence in Charlotte, was doing a lot of black theater and great theater. And so as you read in my resume, that's kind of where I've been, my home. That's been my home for the last 3 to 4 years.
Wow. Okay.
And so through him, I've had the honor of, like you said, being being the best actress for the Metro Atlanta Theater Award, which I did not know I was going to do. I promise you, when they called my name at the award ceremony, I got up there and was speechless because I didn't know what to say because I didn't expect to win.
Oh, no.
So
that's a blessing,
but it was
though.
Great,
that's a blessing.
Yeah. It was great. So I have to give a special thank you to Quentin Talley, Three Bone Productions, Rory Sheriff with BNS Productions. They really provided a home for me to harness my talents and my blessings and the gifts that I have on stage and continuously let me do it. So, look, I'm thankful and blessed.
Absolutely. Yes, and you've won many awards already. And this was the beginning, you know what I'm saying? So what do you think has been the difference between stage, doing stage plays as opposed to screenplay for you?
If you're saying theater compared to film,
is that what exactly.
You're... So theater, I think, is probably my favorite because you get to be bigger than life. You're taking the audience with you from start to finish, and the energy from the audience is what drives you. Yes, you know your script. Yes, you know your lines. Your castmates are your teammates on stage. And the set is built for you, but the energy from the audience, you're going to hear them. You're going to hear if they're with you or not, you know?
Right.
You know when to take your pauses. You know when to kind of when you're in the pocket with them, when you've got them. You know, with film, it's a lot of chopped and screwed. So you have 5 takes of one scene. You gotta redo that scene the same way, same hair in the same place, same expression, same tear in the same place because you got to catch that camera shot. And you kind of, for me, you kind of lose the authenticity of the moment. Because for theater, I can take you and keep going. You know what I'm saying? You've got to come with me. With camera and film, you know, you got to chop and screw it to make it condensed to the 45 minutes to hour or whatever time limit that you have in the show. Some things might be cut out. But that's just me. That's just me. And plus, you know, film puts like 10 more pounds on you, and I don't like to look fat on screen. But but theater is raw in the moment. And even if there's a mistake, you know, that's kind of your teaching process as well, because how do you get out of that? Because the audience can't know.
No, they
so
cannot.
It teaches you how to maneuver, how to be in one sync with your castmates as well. So it's building a relationship, building a trust with them, you know?
Absolutely.
So that's kind of how I feel about it.
Yes, and you're so right. That's exactly how I felt. I mean, I remember standing in the freezing snow. I mean, for hours doing one scene, and I was in heels, you know? So I knew right away that theater was more fun for me. So I feel you. I understand exactly where you're going with that. And being that you, why do you think that Fences was your most memorable?
Because it's Fences. I mean to be cast in Fences, which is probably one of the most popular August Wilson plays. And a lot due to Denzel Washington bringing it to the film. So it reached more people who aren't necessarily theater goers, people who don't necessarily follow August Wilson's work. They were able to be introduced to that through Denzel and Viola, you know? And then, so there's a challenge in that as well, because mind you, Denzel took it to the movies and then I think it was playing on HBO literally the year that we were doing it, and right before, so people are familiar with it. They're familiar with seeing Viola's face. They're familiar with Denzel's face. So you have to paint your own picture and bring them into your story. And I had such a wonderful cast to be with. Like, it's not just an I thing. It was all of us. It was the set. It was the costumes. It was the stage management. It was everyone who had a part. It was the lighting. All of it was such an energy, and it was electric, and it was exciting. And to be able to do that and people receive it the way that they did. Some people who saw Denzel and Viola do it on Broadway, and some people who just watched the movie, and some people who didn't know the story at all, and you were able to reach them. I mean, how amazing was that? And then
for
it to be sold out. It was sold out every show but two of them.
Wow.
So you had people paying their money to come see you tell this story.
Yes, absolutely.
So, yeah.
That is, I mean, that's amazing. It really is. I mean, and for you to have, you played the role that Viola did.
Yes.
Oh, boy.
No pressure.
You definitely
no pressure
had
at all.
A challenge. My God.
You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
One of my heroes. Yes. I got to come behind you.
Thank you.
We're going to make this work. We're going to make this work.
Yes, exactly. But you said also that you do modeling. I knew you was a model. I just looked at your pictures. I know. I got an eye. And
let me tell you something.
Look,
makeup is magic. let me tell you the funniest thing about being a hair model is because I still go to the salon that I've done the magazines and billboards and blah, blah, blah for. And so when I come in there, I promise you I don't look like a model. So my picture is like life size on the wall. And you'll see them look at me and then look at the picture, like, is that you? I was like, listen, it's makeup. Makeup makes you beautiful, girl.
That's all right. Work with what you got. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You got makeup, put
it
on. If you know, if that helps. And in this type of career anyway, with the lighting and all that stuff, you need makeup. You know, you need something. You know, I'm not the person who's doing makeup, you know, but you need that in this type of field, you know, especially when you're doing stage plays and film. So what would you say has made you continue doing the hair modeling? You know, what is the thing that drives you to continue to do that?
My hairstylist, I love her to death, Christy Beke. She is the owner of Ben Young's here in Charlotte, North Carolina. And I remember when she started, she was in a line that had multiple stylists in it. And so since 2000, I've been with her. So it was family. So
Yes.
So her first hair magazine, she was like, look, she calls me Nicole. She's my middle name. She's like, Nicole, I need you to do such and such. And I'm like, okay. And she grew, and she would get more people coming in for that style. And then, you know, one hair magazine turned into three magazines, and it turned into, you know, a bus ad. And then she got a second salon, and then she got a third salon. And then, you know, she's doing more advertisement. And as I'm out with her hairstyle, so she would try different things on me, I'd, you know, dish out her business cards. And then, you know, I'm not just taking sole credit, but, you know, from my aspect, I was promoting her product. You know, and then so every now and then you hear somebody who saw it in New York, somebody saw it in Texas, and then the latest one was when it was in Africa. Now that made me cry.
Right.
A friend of mine happened to be in Ghana and saw my billboard over there. And I was
wow. Unbelievable.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yes,
nobody would think I'm a corporate accountant during the day. You know what I'm saying?
Really?
But yeah. Oh, yes, ma'am.
Wow.
We do numbers over here.
That's a big leap. Yes, that's a big
I know. Totally different. Totally different. But, you know, it started out as my hobby. It started out as my hobby, and then it grew into something that was truly a joy and passion of mine.
Right.
All of it, the dancing, the acting, the hair modeling, it really grew with me. So it's something that I really love to do.
Well, you know what? I've been to Africa. I've been to Uganda. You don't look nothing like them women that I was seeing over there. Look, don't get me wrong now.
There's so many different countries and areas in Africa. I'm sure I look like somebody over there.
And just think, I was, for the missions team, I wanted to do the feet. I wanted to wash the feet. And then I changed my mind. I thought about that. I said, you know what? I think I can't handle that one right now. I said, I'm like, and then everybody signed up. I want to do the feet. Cherie doing the feet. I'm doing the feet. Cherie doing the feet. I'm doing the feet. So they signed up, and I pulled my name out. I was rolling. And they put me on the choir.
Well, glory to God. Were you singing for the Lord? You were singing?
I was directing the children's choir.
Oh, you was directing the children. Okay, well, lead them.
Yes, and preaching. Mm-hmm. So I got to be on the radio that they had over there. So it was really
awesome.
A blessing. So I understand what you mean by being there made you want to cry, because there's a certain type of feeling that I can't even describe. And, you know, it's not like going on a regular vacation to an island. So it's a surreal experience, you know. So I understand what you're saying completely, you know. But
no, and then let me correct you. I have not been able to go. So my face has been over there before I've been over there.
Well, you're going to be there. Ain't no way in the world you can have your
Lord
face
willing,
over there.
Lord willing, because I would love
going
to go. Yes,
yes,
please.
Yeah, yeah. You going to go. They got your face over
when
there.
When outside
he
open up.
Took Karen away. Yep. Absolutely.
Amen.
You're going to call me up and tell me how it went.
I sure will. Call right back
okay.
in. Like, well, let me tell you.
Yes. Well, we don't have that much time. I do want to get into this question because I never had anybody that I can recall in over the 300 guests I've had who have performed in the Universal Soul Circuit. So real quickly, tell us what that experience was like.
It was surreal.
Yes.
I'm co-founder of Shea Movement African Arts, and like I said, for 10 years, but I have been kind of doing my acting thing for the last about going on 2 years now. So Nishay Faulkner is the artistic director now for Shea Movement. And
okay. The
same hairstylist that I told you about, she
yes.
kind of gave us a plug with the Universal Soul Circus, and they had us open up for their show. When you see so many talented and different acts going on around you and you're a part of that, it's almost bigger than life. And then it's
right.
and then it's what's the word? It gives you almost anxiety because you don't want to mess up. You
right.
know, because these are people who travel literally all over the world doing
right.
what they
exactly.
do.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to pull
mm-hmm.
your weight as a Charlotte artist coming out there to open up for their show. It was
okay.
amazing. It was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
It was amazing, the response from the community that was there to see the circus. It was amazing being with the fellow dancers. We drummed and danced at the same time.
Wow.
It was an amazing feeling, absolutely, to show what we've rehearsed for so long to do and choreographed by Nishay Faulkner. I mean, it was amazing, and the response was totally great. I'll never
wow, because see, I've been to one. I've been to the regular circuses, of course, but my grandmother took me when I was young to the
mm-hmm.
Universal Soul Circus. So that was just mind blowing to see in itself because
right.
it was us, you know. So
it was all us.
Absolutely. So that was just great, you know, just even witnessing, you know. So for you
mm-hmm.
to be a part of that, I know
mm-hmm.
that must have been, like, mind-blowing for you.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yes.
I'll never forget that, ever.
Now, we've stopped streaming, but I do have a couple of minutes. If you could just tell people how to book you or buy your product or how to reach out to you, where do they go? Give us their platforms that you use, whatever one you
okay.
want to share.
No problem. For Facebook and Instagram, I'm Lashea Nicole, and that's capital L-E, capital S-H-E-A, Nicole, N-I-C-O-L-E. Like I said, on Facebook and Instagram, if you're looking to book Shea Movement for entertainment or teaching, you can reach Nishay Faulkner at sheamovement@gmail.com, and that's S-H-A-E, movement, at gmail.com. And those are basically the places you can find me.
Okay, wonderful, wonderful. And I know if I lived in Charlotte 4 years ago, and then I left Charlotte 4 years ago. So if I ever come back down there again, I'm going to definitely ring you up and be like, look, girl, I'm in Charlotte, you know. And,
yeah, you have
you know.
To because you didn't stay long enough. You didn't stay long enough to experience everything. So you got to come back.
My girlfriend, my girlfriend told me that. She was like, you ain't even give it a chance. And you leaving already? I'm like,
you was done.
Yeah,
you was done, son.
For real. But it was a pleasure talking to you. Thank you for connecting with me, and once I reached out to you, and continue to do what you're doing. You're a fabulous woman. Fantabulous is what I say. So
okay, I'll
keep up
it.
Your. Yeah, keep up dynamically fantabulous job.
Thank you so much for having me tonight. I really do appreciate it. Thank you. It seemed like the time flew by.
Yes, yes, and that's how you're gonna fly by.
You did say
welcome.
That. You surely did.
Yep. You're welcome. Thank you so much, and you have a beautiful night.
You too.
Okay. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
There you have it. That was Lashay Nicole out of Charlotte, North Carolina. If you missed the beginning part of the show, please go back and listen to it. After about maybe 15 minutes, you can forward the link, and the audio version will be ready, but you can see the pictures. Please, if you would like to donate, do that. It would be a great help for Diamonds in the Rough. And if you want to order any artwork, any books for your children, I have mostly children's books for all ages, a relationship on black relations between black women and men, Can Assist to Get Some Love, which was my thesis, that is available as well. So contact me, text me if you're serious about, supporting and ordering some of the items that I have up on the website. Thank you so much. Have a blessed holiday, whatever way you celebrate it, and a happy new year. I will be back, God willing, by the end of January, the year. And I am going to take you out. And let's see, what am I going to play here? I don't like snow, but I sure love this song by Boyz II Men. Let It Snow. I'm going to take you out with that. Be blessed. Have a good night.
Let it snow. It's holiday.
Thank you.